Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on a Tuesday evening on 98.7 ESPN. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Strap it in.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984.
RJ is a big fan of that second drop, and also I believe he thinks those two drops played together nicely.
Strap it in.
Don, a lot gets said on this show.
A lot.
Sometimes it's a lot to take in.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that moment when the words were said.
I was at the Garden. I'll never forget it.
Anyways, so DeAndre Baker has now joined Quentin Dunbar in claiming he's not guilty of that alleged armed robbery in Miramar, Florida, last week. Dunbar has not actually officially pled, yet he's told authorities he's not guilty, but he will also plead not guilty. So DeAndre Baker is facing 8 charges stemming from that alleged incident, but he is saying he did not do it. His lawyer is claiming he was set up and that people are trying to take advantage, whatever that means.
Well, we'll see. If they drop the charges, then he's right.
But just dropping the charges if I'm the Giants is not enough. I need to do my own investigation, find out exactly what's going on here. Because you can have some people not wanting to testify because they've got a past or they've got a secret that they're trying to keep. Just because charges are dropped doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean you're a good guy done wrong. So you just can't take that at face value. You could if you want, but in a league where they do punish without conviction, the Giants, I think, if they really want to stand by this, we want to have good citizens, we want to change the culture, do your own investigation. Find out exactly what you have here. You got a second chance, maybe. Take advantage of it.
So I think this is an interesting story in terms of us thinking about what could happen with some of the leagues here. The Premier League in Europe is getting ready for soccer and training scheduled to begin this week. So they tested 748 players and staff. Each team submitted 40 staff, players, coaches, medical staff for testing. And 6 players have tested positive for coronavirus ahead of them beginning training. Which I think a pretty low number out of 748 people, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, if they do testing before a league starts and they get a percentage that low, you have to think the league feels they're making the right decision. And is confident.
What were these players doing before they got back together? Like, did they have the players in quarantine?
It's a great question because all these guys are also international. So do they all just stay with their clubs in Europe?
And you're not watching them, so you don't know if they're what they're doing. But the whole idea, I know the NHL asked all of its players to stay home. Stay at home, stay quarantined, so that way when you come back, we know that you're okay. But you don't know what players are doing, where they go get takeout or how they're handling things. You can't police them 24/7.
Did you, I know you're a big fan, Don, did you watch John Oliver yet this week?
I did.
John Oliver, he really attacked, you know, and went after the return to sports. Any major takeaways that you enjoyed there?
No, he's right, because I thought he played it very fair. Now, listen, we need sports back, but how do you do it? He just kind of went over all the things that we've been talking about. just how difficult this is going to be to do.
The unforeseen complications.
It's just so much. Like, there was, we may have talked about it, Michael. You might have said it. But, like, for a sport to have a neutral site, like a hub, right? You're talking 10,000 people having to stay in one place. When you count the players and the cooks and the people working at the hotel, I mean, 10,000 people all in one place for an unforeseen amount of time. Could be 2 months. The way he outlined it just shows you how important it is, but also how tremendously difficult this whole thing is going to be.
Well, I think in a perfect world, guys, you would start sports next year when the thing has cleared out and hopefully that there's a vaccine. And, you know, this is being painted as something that's being done for the country. And I think that if it is done, it will be good for the country. But this is necessary economically for the leagues. It will be a disaster.
True.
If they don't play any baseball. An absolute disaster financially for both the players and the owners. So they are going to try. I think they're doing their due diligence and trying to keep everybody safe. But the best way to keep everybody safe is for this virus to move out, for there to be a vaccine. But we don't know when that could be. Watching cable last night, and they had Jonas Salk's son on. And the polio vaccine took like a decade before it was developed. A decade. So you're going to not have baseball for decades, so you're going to have to make it work this way.
Right, because that's why I asked before, what is the curbside pickup version of sports? Right, so all these companies, yeah, they're doing it for the citizens of their community, but these pizzerias and these restaurants that are having curbside pickup, they're also doing it so they can find a way to stay in business during this pandemic. Sacrifices are being made across the board. We're making sacrifices because we can't go into the restaurant and enjoy a night out. They're making the sacrifices because they've had to lay off a certain amount of people so that they can stay in business and do the curbside pickup, right? So everybody's making sacrifices. That's why it's frustrating when you hear baseball talking about, like, working things out. Like, the players are going to have to make sacrifices. The owners are going to have to make sacrifices. The fans are making sacrifices. If this is going to work out, Michael, everybody's going to have to tighten their belt. There's no fair way to do this.
Don, how funny was the part with John Oliver when he just took the broadside swipe at Philadelphia fans for fun?
I was thinking about Andrew.
I know.
When he did.
When he said, like, we all know that they're just disgusting monsters, basically. However, there are people who have to take care of these monsters, and he kind of focused on the people who work in the stadium cooking cheese.
God hates me.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course he does. But and talking about, you know, all these people who are out of work who make a living cooking cheesesteaks at games during the summer for the Phillies, and then the Sixers and the Flyers during the winter. You know, as you guys know from being in these stadiums, so many people work concessions and security at all the different stadiums throughout the whole year.
Yeah, but those people are still going to be unemployed. They're not going to be fans. There's nobody to cook for. I mean, there's going to be
first,
security.
Yes.
At first, do you really think they're going to have fans in ballparks at some point?
But at some point. This year?
This year?
But I guess the idea, too, maybe not specific to the people working, because the people that are serving the food usually don't work for the team. They're a company that the team hires. But the overall point is, if the owners can make some money, maybe they don't have to furlough, because that's what we're seeing every day. Check your social media.
Good point.
There are teams around the league that are furloughing employees because they can't afford to pay them. So if they can come back, you know, theoretically, if they can start making some money some way, shape, or form, then maybe some of these jobs can still
also
be had.
Let me also just say, the same way we don't know and this whole thing could blow up and they could try it for a few weeks, shut the whole thing down, and we could be living this life until January, just as likely as that, in my opinion, we're also lost on this, is that it goes better than we expected, and if people keep going on the route that they're going, that we get to the fall and there's limited capacity people in games. We never know.
Well,
We don't know.
I thought it was interesting what Scotty Burrell said. He didn't think there'd be college basketball until maybe January, maybe. He said, but it's just not safe enough for students to do it. He
but
said,
that's such a different thing for students. And,
but students, why? Are different.
Because they're not getting paid. They're not adults.
Well,
they're adults at Jays.
But, you know, supposedly they get scholarships. That's their payment. So I don't say you put them in danger, but it doesn't mean so if you're a college athlete, you shouldn't be put in danger. But if you're a 22-year-old professional, you should.
Well, I mean,
I think people see professionals in a different light, don't you, Don?
Well, they're still young men.
They're protected by their union. See, if I'm a student, I'm vulnerable to be taken advantage of by my school. And you go back to the Oklahoma State situation, where am I being forced to go in because I'm making money for your university and for my state, and there's nobody really protecting me. So if you're going to have me come back and play, do I have the confidence that I'm not just some money-making machine, that there's somebody protecting me? At least professional athletes have a union that's designed to protect you and to negotiate the safest way in which to do this. I think that's a big difference.
The Belmont Stakes are it's going to be held on June 20th and will be the first leg of the Triple Crown. Now, it's going to be without fans, and it's going to be shortened from its traditional length of 1.5 miles to 1 1/8 miles. It was originally scheduled for June 6th. The Kentucky Derby is at
What's wrong with you?
Well, I think in honor of shortening the race, he's shortening words.
The story's not going well. The Kentucky Derby is not a thing. The Kentucky Derby and Preakness had previously been rescheduled for September 5th and October 3rd, respectively. So we will get the start.
I'm kind of curious why they're shortening it. I mean, the whole thing of the Belmont is 1.5 miles. All of a sudden you're taking away...
So I was hoping you could enlighten me.
I guess because it's the first leg, and it's usually the final leg where they've built up. But
I would
think that you should have the longer race at the beginning when they're still stronger. They're exhausted by the Belmont. That's why, until recently, there hadn't been that many Triple Crown winners.
Yeah, so it's simply because of the placement in the season now.
I guess.
That was my thought, too. They've been running it for like over 100 years at 1.5 miles. But
yeah, and that's the beauty of the Belmont.
And also, I don't know if you guys have seen this, pretty interesting. They're actually as part of social distancing, the horses are going to have like a sort of a robotic attachment, and the jockeys are going to be like 1.5 feet off of the actual horse.
It's a total lie.
Sort of floating. They're kind of going to be floating above the horses.
Why
the Kentucky Derby.
What is this, confused. Don? What is the Kentucky Derby? Have you ever heard of this?
The Kentucky Derby, which is always known for non-contact jockey horse play.
Yep. Excuse me.
So now, because of the pandemic, they're going to be hovering even higher above the horse. But the Kentucky Derby, no, they're going to still be in the saddle and everything's going to be fine.
This is a good time for everybody to just Google Don and his horse racing getup.
Why don't you just end ENN? If you can't say Derby, that's a problem.
Because I have, we have to talk about LeBron James, the Condor, for a second. The Kentucky Derby. So, LeBron James was on Uninterrupted, and he was asked what it would have been like playing with Jordan.
You know, I just feel like our games was just a perfect, you know, correlation to be able to just be successful. You know, I see the things that Pitt was able to do with Mike. I just think it would have been a whole nother level. You know, with me being that point forward, you know, alongside him during those Chicago runs.
I'm sure great players can learn to play together.
Yeah, well,
especially with LeBron
would have to learn not having the ball quite as much.
Yeah, and to sometimes have your dinner taken away from you.
Did you see the sidebar story? You know, Clutch Sports is owned by Rich Paul, which is, you know, it's kind of LeBron's, too. And Alex Bregman of the Astros was the lone Astro represented by Clutch Sports, and he got rid of them today and is in the process of evaluating where he's going to go for an agency. And then when you dig deeper, the production company that does Uninterrupted, which is LeBron's production company, they're doing an all-in documentary on the Astros cheating.
Really?
So I wonder if that's why Bregman said, oh, really? I'm done.
I'm sure they're worried about that.
Adam Schefter tweeted.
Schefty.
Yeah. Would have loved to watch the Knicks lose the NBA draft lottery that was scheduled for tonight. Even that, at this point, would have felt like a win.
That's not nice.
You idiot.
I mean, he's not wrong, though. The NFL... has been relegated to a virtual off-season program, but of course that is not going to stop the king of Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, and some of his new teammates got together. According to the Tampa Bay Times and confirmed by a league source, Brady and teammates got together at Berkeley High School in Tampa Bay for a two-hour throwing session. So coaches are currently not allowed to enter facilities. And they decided to take this opportunity to get out there and throw it around. Supposedly, according to the Tampa Times, or the Tampa Times, Brady was there with his center, wide receivers Mike Evans and Scotty Miller. O.J. Howard was there. And Blaine Gabbert was there. You need Gabbert. There's no, you can't get this season going without Gabbert. So he was there as well. No Gronk, apparently.
Well, he's the wrestling 24/7 champion.
Yeah, he's got to defend that title. There's no doubt. Not the best news for Aaron Judge. Apparently, his girlfriend was busted on DUI charges in Arizona. And they're saying, quote, extreme DUI. She, like Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker, is pleading not guilty.
Why is that a reflection on Aaron Judge?
I didn't say it was a reflection on Aaron Judge.
Well,
it was bad
news. Good news for Aaron Judge. He didn't do it.
Well, who wants your girlfriend to be facing DUI charges?
Oh, okay, but how's it not good news for Aaron Judge?
99, baby.
Don, help me out here.
It's not good news for Aaron Judge because his girlfriend got an extreme DUI.
Who wants that?
But he wasn't driving. But
it's still his girlfriend.
Why does anyone want that? It's annoying.
You know, well, as Joe Girardi would say, it's not what you
want. It's not what you want.
But you can't say that it's bad news for Aaron Judge. He didn't do it. It would be bad news if he did it.
Listen, first of all, after your last story, I might have to explain to you that there people have feelings for other people. You may not know that.
Right, but if he loves his girlfriend,
he loves his girlfriend.
Well, that's a different story. Then he feels sorry for his girlfriend, but don't say it's not a reflection on Aaron Judge.
Nobody said it's a reflection, but it's bad news for Aaron Judge.
It was bad news. When he got the phone call and his girlfriend said, "Hey, honey, I don't know, tell you this, I got arrested for extreme DUI." He didn't go, "Oh, that's tremendous. I'm playing 18 holes tomorrow. You want to come join me?" He was bummed out. I didn't say troubling news for Aaron Judge.
What'd you say?
Bad news.
Right. You didn't say Aaron Judge is in trouble.
No, of course not a reflection on him.
It's bad news.
Now, she pled not guilty. Maybe there's
maybe she's not guilty.
Or is she not guilty of the extreme part of it? You know, she was drunk, but she's arguing that it wasn't.
I don't think she was arguing against the extreme. I don't know if you can argue that.
I don't know. But
I hope
Kentucky Derby again, Peter.
The Kentucky Derbies. It's a multiple. Leon Rose has made a move that apparently would have been respected by Kobe Bryant. So first, he brought along longtime Jazz executive Walt Perrin as the Knicks assistant general manager.
Under the radar, good hire.
In charge of college scouting. But now they make another move and get former Nets assistant GM Frank Zanin, who will have the same title, but his focus will be on pro personnel. Most recently, he was an advanced scout for the Thunder. And if you go back to 2016 on Twitter, Kobe Bryant tweeted, "Hope to see you at Zanin." He tweeted, "Hope to see you in the GM seat for the Brooklyn Nets. You have great basketball mind, and it's time you get your shot. Hashtag go get it." Well, maybe this is a good sign. The Knicks poaching someone who was once part of the Nets organization.
Might get good basketball people, and maybe good decisions are on the way. And we didn't talk about it yesterday, guys. I text you. That was a rough one Saturday night. I just happened to turn on Channel 7, and they're replaying his last game against the Jazz. That was a rough one to watch. The end of the game, and that was when he scored the 60. And I remember Peter having that in ENN. I can't believe that was 4 years ago.
Oh, you mean his final game?
Final game in L.A.
Yeah.
And it was a Wednesday night, so it was on ESPN. It was Tirico was doing the game.
Well, because they were up against a game with playoff implications. So it was a complicated choice, I remember.
Yes.
Between showing that game on the mothership or the game with implications.
And they went with, because it was on ESPN2, so they went to the game that meant something. But the fact that you saw Gianna and his wife.
It's a lot.
That was the Mamba out speech. It was a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, everything that's happened has sort of, you know, we've been living through such a crazy time the last 3 months that you forget, you almost forget that a month and a half before that, we went through together as a society the most like shocking loss of a celebrity athlete since God knows when, you know. And then when you see that final game, and he dug deep for that. I mean, you guys remember how much of a struggle that year was for Kobe. It was ugly.
Well, they were miserably out of it.
But he was bad. I mean, his shooting percentage was dreck that year. And for him to come up somehow with 60, granted he shot the ball, what did he shoot the ball down, 45 times?
I think it was 22 of 58. I mean, something ridiculous. He was definitely 22 of 50-something.
Yeah, he's going to get his shots up, and he sure did. Also, you guys mentioned this yesterday at the end of the show, but according to an ESPN report, the Rooney Rule will be amended to require more interviews of minority candidates. Sources confirmed that the changes were being discussed today in a virtual league meeting, but they will not require a vote. The league will require teams to interview at least two minority external candidates for head coach openings. At least one minority candidate must be interviewed for coordinators.
And they also shelved the draft pick compensation if you did hire a minority candidate, which I thought was just objectionable. I just thought it was like bribing people, and it was terrible for the candidates. You have to wonder why you got your job.
And lastly, happy birthday to Kevin Garnett. Any guess on KG's age there, Michael K?
43.
Don?
I'll say 46.
Wow, 44. You both missed it. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Good
the
stuff.
The Kentucky Derbys and... Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.